I'm Steven.
I'm Chris.
I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm the French-Canadian Sensation.
And we're the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a podcast member of the GunnaGeek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready.
Because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
Let's geek!
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth's two favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor tonight, Stargate Pioneer, my friends. They call me SP, and your other reporters for this special 148th episode of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Nobody says howdy.
Okay, partner. And Michelle.
Leaving already? I didn't get to shoot anyone.
Should we tell them about the minute? This podcast is recorded live on Thursday, April 13th, 2017. Live on Geeks.live. Hey, one of the great things about the Starling Tribune over here on Earth 2 is that in addition to being famous newspaper reporters, we all claim to be Earth 1 comic book enthusiasts. Isn't that right, Michelle?
Yes. I finally got to the comic book store and bought my stack in 6 weeks. It's literally like almost a foot tall, and it took the guy a good 15 minutes to ring me up. He even gave me a little bitty small box so I can carry my stuff away. So yeah, I got a lot of reading to do.
Did you get your first, what are they called, diamond distributor boxes? Is that what it is? Did you get your first diamond box?
I guess it was like a brown box with a little handle. Yeah.
You totally did. That's awesome. That's the distributor for most comic books. That's how they're actually thrown out there. Right, Chris? Diamond, that's the name of the company?
It is. They're a monopoly, for better or worse.
There you go. So we can't wait to hear more later about the comic book scene, thanks to you getting caught up, Michelle. But for the rest of tonight, we'll be discussing an episode of Legends of Tomorrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week since we last recorded that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as The Flash, dang it, Barry, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and over on the CW seed, Vixen and Constantine.
SP, you forgot Black Lightning, and you also forgot Smallville and Lois and Clark and Justice League Unlimited and Justice League.
Dude.
And other stuff I'm probably forgetting.
I'm just Ron Burgundy reading the script that's in front of me, so if you want me to say it, all you have to do is throw it in the show notes next time.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Question mark there.
So guys, just a reminder that our discussions tonight are based off of speculation that comes from different showrunner interviews and articles we've seen online. So even if we are throwing out wild speculation, we might inadvertently be spoiling things too, because hey, sometimes we're actually right when we make random guesses, but then other times we're gloriously wrong, and you guys do let us know.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GoingToGeek.com, where you can find all of our other past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Going to Geek Productions banner.
Thanks, guys. That was a great rundown of the admin as we go into the front page of the Starling Tribune this week. Michelle, why don't you go ahead and break down the current episode for us?
Sure. The episode is called Outlaw Country. It's season 2, episode 6 of Legends of Tomorrow. It originally aired Thursday, November 17th, 2016. Director is Sherry Nolan. Did One Legends, Four Suits, One How to Get Away with Murder. Actually has 33 directing credits dating back to 1992. Writers, Matthew Mala, done 4 Legends, and Chris Fedak, done 5 Legends, 3 Forever, and 17 of a little show called Chuck.
Yeah, Miss Chuck. Actually, is it season 4 that ends with the wedding? I think it's season 4 that ends with the wedding.
I believe so.
That's where I want Chuck to end. Season 4, just anything after that, I just don't. It's already gone.
I'm just happy we got to drop Suits in here, because I never thought I'd get to hear a mention of Suits when talking about Legends of Tomorrow.
We, in the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., went down a director yesterday that had been directing since 1985. And so there were some interesting things in there as well.
That's almost as long as I've been alive.
Oh, shut your face.
you youngin' kid, get off my lawn. All right, to save us from this age debate, let's get into the ratings, which is a debate unto itself for this week. This was back in November 14th through 17th of 2016. Supergirl on Monday got a live rating of 2.35. Flash on Tuesday got a rating with the episode called Shade of 3.01. On Wednesday, Arrow aired Vigilante with a phenomenal 1.86. Believe it or not, that is not the lowest of the season to date. And Legends of Tomorrow bringing up the rear on Thursday with 1.85, which is smack dab in the middle of where it was. So that's what we're talking about. And it just kind of hurts to see some of these low numbers, especially for Supergirl that used to get 7 over on the CBS network. And Arrow getting below a 2. And it's been a good season of Arrow, but that's where we're at. And I don't know why Legends of Tomorrow. Chris, do you want to take a guess at why Legends of Tomorrow is so low?
Well, I mean, that's not bad for Legends, though. If you go and look at what their ratings have been at the end of season 1 until things picked up. It's just, this is when Legends was on Thursday night, so it didn't have the advantage of a lead-in from The Flash or anything like that. It had to stand on its own.
It's been about that way even when they have transferred into Tuesday. So I don't know. Michelle, what do you think?
You know, considering this is a ragtag bunch of outlaws and misfits doing a time travel show, it's actually, I think, a decent rating. I mean, really, like, there's none of the superheroes are actually like a name like Green Arrow or Flash or Supergirl. So considering it's actually pulling in similar numbers to Arrow, I think it's actually decent for a show like Legend.
All right. I just wish it was higher because it's been a fun show to watch.
It's higher than Arrow.
you're just poking me in the chest with that arrow, aren't you, Chris? If you haven't seen Legends of Tomorrow season 2 or 1, by the way, they're all on Netflix right now. Michelle dropped that. As we record this, season 2 has ended. The season finale has aired, but we're just catching up because our main show that we cover on the Starling Tribune is Arrow, which we all like, right, Chris?
I like parts of Arrow.
Oh, you love Elicity.
No Laurel, no Arrow. I love Laurel. She's the best. I love Laurel. Bring her back. Yay.
And they are. Hooray.
We'll talk about that later, or maybe we already have. Anyway, Chris, let's get back to this episode of Legends of Tomorrow. We're talking about Outlaw Country. What is the theme of this episode?
Well, we're dealing with a bunch of outlaws out in the country, as one might say, out in outlaw country.
Did you even watch the episode, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. Just had to qualify that because sometimes that doesn't happen. But yes, there were a lot of outlaws. And strangely enough, there was just one tiny pass in between the outlaw country and the east where the Union Army was. Just one little railroad pass.
And it's a good call out to old Western terminology because you hear a lot of terms of outlaws and outlaw country and country and things like that when you're dealing with Western movies, Western TV shows, books, things like that. So it's a play on words that links to the fact that, hey, we're back in the old West, guys. Jonah Hex is coming back.
I was just going to say, you left out the most important thing. And I was going to say, Michelle, who do we get this week?
Oh, we get Jonah Hex.
Yeah. How'd you like him?
Great. He has to come back at least once a season. You know, I love the Jonah Hex episode in the first season. It's one of my favorite, and it's one of the best from season 1. This is one of the best episodes for season 2. There's rumors that they might bring in new characters for season 3. Hey, Jonah Hex, time traveler. Considering that he learns how to work with Sarah at the end of this episode, why not? I would be completely on board with it.
Yeah, I think that would be cool too. The only bummer with Jonah Hex's appearance, and this is a minor quibble, is I really loved his interaction with Rip in season one and how they kind of ripped on each other and cracked jokes on each other and gave each other a hard time. And you don't really get that here because, you know, Rip is gone.
Matter of fact, Jonah points that out. Where is he? And Sarah says, I'm in charge. And he goes, little lady.
But you're a lady.
You're a filly. She's a filly that likes other fillies.
I'll be in my bunk.
Nothing wrong with that. I think we're all good with that. So that's the setting. We're in the Old West. We got Jonah Hex back, and we have some good old Western bad guys that have their hands on some futuristic type tech, or actually raw materials.
Conveniently, we're talking about Dwarf Star Alloy because Ray doesn't have a suit the week before the crossover is supposed to happen.
Got to get his suit back. Yep.
I wonder why they're finding Dwarf Star Alloy this week.
Would have been nice for them to do a train robbery, you know, with the Wave Rider. That would have been awesome.
Straight up Back to the Future style. They got to steal the train for something.
Well, I was referring to Firefly in the train robbery, but
train job.
Yeah. Train job. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. But there were a lot of fights. We always start with the fights after we talk about the theme of the episode. So Michelle, let's talk about the very first one.
We find Jonah Hex actually getting ready to die. He's on a horse, you know, got a noose around his neck, and Nate feeling kind of whiny and like, oh, I'm a superhero, you know, kind of charges in, steals up and deflects bullets and like catches one in his teeth or something like that. And the person who actually saves Jonah is Sarah. She shoots him down.
Nice shot.
That's because Sarah's a badass.
I've had one of those Winchesters in my hand before, and I've tried to shoot a static target. Now, Jonah is swinging around because he's trying to get himself out of that noose. And I've never had a noose around my neck, so I don't know how I would act. But so he's swinging around and Sarah's got to shoot him down. It's a nice shot because you got to time the bullet coming with the rope, which is swinging. It was a good shot. So we moved on from that. We've saved Jonah and we've discovered that there is something amiss going on because the
Time quake.
No, but it was the trouble meter or something like that they called it. So don't ever call that again, right? It's like the trouble light, the trouble. Anyway, there was a time quake and something's amiss. So they go to the saloon.
They do. And in true Legends fashion, we can't go to a bar without a bar fight breaking out.
It's awesome bar fight. Although it took a little bit to make that happen because, well, Mick was having a lot of fun.
Oh, God, he broed out with Turbo, the bad guy. It was amazing.
Just having fun. And that reminded me, so we know where things go in the future, but this is reminding me of where Mick really was at the beginning of the season. At the end of the season, I think I was giving him too much credit. I was saying that his character had moved forward too much because we've had off-air discussions about it. And I think this is just a reminder to me, well, maybe he's a little bit more grounded in being a thief and a scoundrel and a bad guy. And this was just a memory of it. So I'm glad we had that. But the bar fight was great. Had just an old fashioned bar fight with bullets flying. And
I love how everybody, because Jonah ruins the plan and he comes in and like everybody draws their gun, including the piano player.
Everyone's got to be packing heat in these days.
I thought that was great because I noticed that this time around that even the piano player had a gun. And then Sarah comes in with that whip. Nice.
Yep. Definitely something that is going to cause a lot of people to go in their bunk. But let's move on from that and let's go to the trio of taxmen. And this was interesting because, you know, it's kind of like the Al Capone thing to do it, you know, get them with IRS. So they go in there, but it's not really working that well this time around because, well, they're trying to create their own country, so they could care less about the IRS.
Just like most other people. I mean, wait, what? Don't audit me.
It's something because Jax just blurts out, hey, we know your plan. You want to form a new country. And then they have to fight their way out of the room. It's like, really, Jax? Just
way to go, Jax.
You wouldn't shoot a person in cold blood, will you? Yeah. I think they're going to do that. So
yeah, they don't care. Morals and things like that, moral dilemmas, not really a problem for a bunch of outlaws.
You know, just protect what's there. Who cares? Just bury him. And it's not like they have CSI or anything. They're not going to get caught.
Yeah, that's true.
But then Rory and Vixen have to go blow up the mine. And that's what I was referencing at the top of the show, where should we give them a minute? And no, they should not give them a minute or tell them about the minute. And they get out of there. That at the end of this fight, it was just a brawl, by the way. And of course, Vixen was animaling up and stuff. At the end of the fight, Rory was just going to town with that shovel on that guy. Thank gosh they didn't show the guy on the ground. But he's hitting that guy over and over and over with the shovel, and not with the blunt end, with the sharp end of the shovel. And Vixen gets him to stop. And this is where we're at, right?
Appeals to his better nature, if you will.
Well, Rory sees himself. He says that he feels like he's on a leash. And then he says, I'm an animal who wants to watch the world burn. We have to remember that he has lost his best friend, and he was tortured by the Time Masters because he's actually Kronos. So he's been in that weird no time zone and brainwashed again and again, done all this training over and over again. So I think it makes sense, like with everything that he's feeling. And it's not like Rory has had, this is how we properly express our feelings lessons. I don't think he's ever had that. So this is how he knows how to express himself. And fortunately, you know, Vixen is like, you are the animal who wants to watch the world burn, but you can learn how to control it and I can help you. And this is the episode when I thought Vixen and Rory were going to start a relationship, because she at the end says, I can help you do this. And I was sort of looking forward to that for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think they had alluded to that at the beginning in the preseason, that Mick was going to have trouble with his feelings, and they alluded to Vixen being a big part of that. So we all assumed it was going to be a romantic relationship with the two.
Agreed. And they did a very good job of making you think that. That's why when her other relationship comes into play later in the season, it kind of took me aback first. I was like, wait, really? That's the path they're going right now? It surprised me.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of the fights that happen and a little bit more. And the next thing we talk about is time travel. So we've already said at length that we're in the Old West, but Michelle, why don't you break down exactly where we are?
Well, we're in 1874, Liberty, Colorado, and we end up there because a dumb time pirate comes along with futuristic scanner, and he finds Dwarf Star, which Ray later identifies. And then Turnbull comes along, and the dumb time pirate was like, hey, you know, this is really worth a lot, and you could find it with this tool. And of course, he gets shot, because you don't say that, hey, this is valuable and this is how you find it and expect to live. So that's what causes the time quake, this stupid dumb time pirate and his little scanner.
Yeah, give up all of your leverage by saying, here, this will make you rich, you don't need me. That's a bad idea.
So Stein, this was also interesting to me to remember, he's having headaches and memories of this woman. And at the time, actually, I had no idea who this woman was, and we don't in this episode, but we were thinking that he has just screwed up his relationship with his wife. His wife was Clarissa. So we were thinking that maybe he got himself a trophy wife in this. In any event, he's having these visions and his mind is being rewritten, because he has rewritten his own timeline at the end of last episode. So that is a big thing that happens in this series in season two.
And it's a lot of good setup for a payoff in the crossover next week, where it all sort of comes together and you realize, oh, wow. Stein really did screw things over, but at the same time, it's kind of nice what his scrub of time did for him.
Yeah, I really like how these three episodes really play with Stein. You know, it sets up last week and then we get the payoff next week. So I really like how they set this up and they didn't drag it.
Yeah, so next week they go back to 2016, right?
That is true. It is time to deal with the alien invasion.
Invasion. I'm trying to remember, were all four episodes named Invasion? I don't think so.
No.
No, well, because really it's a three-show crossover, because Supergirl was Medusa, I believe, because it's that footage from Flash at the last minute in the copy and paste.
Oh, it makes me angry again.
Hashtag no Laurel, no Arrow.
Oh, hashtag no Flash, no Supergirl crossover. That didn't make sense. I'm just going to go with it, though. Just power through. Power through. We'll pretend it made sense.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the characters here. So Sarah Lance, she's getting more comfortable being with Captain. It wasn't that long ago that she was ordained by Stein himself as you should be the captain, because she was really acting like the captain all along, as we know. But she understands what it meant to have a vendetta. She told Jonah Hex that. And she forms a plan and she makes it work, which is great. So she's really making this team into a cohesive unit, which Jonah was saying you guys weren't like this at all before.
Yeah, I really like how basically she tells Jonah, it's like, you either follow a filly or you get your ass kicked by one. And he finally is like, yeah, you're the captain. You're in charge. You know what you're doing. So good to see.
Yeah, I enjoyed her putting him in his place, basically like, look, you want to work with us? It's my show. Let's do this thing.
Absolutely. And Ray, he is coming out of his, he's still at the point where he doesn't have a suit back, of course. And he is just trying to make do with what he knows and where he's trying to be on the team. And they have to deal with Nate, largely, who is vulnerable to these new bullets with Darkstar alloy.
Nate was kind of whiny this episode. He's like, I'm a superhero. Why am I doing research in the library? It is like, dude, it's what you also do. You just can't stand in the corner with your steel up body and just like, that's all you do. You know, you got to do other stuff. It's fine. It's just, I really hadn't warmed up to him yet, because for me, it was like, do you really need to be so whiny?
And I think Ray had a line to some effect of, for some people, being smart is their superpower, or being intelligent is their superpower. Kind of like, hey, remember me? Don't have my suit. All I'm here to do is be a big brain and help on things.
So he's in the DC universe. Has he never read a Batman comic? Does he not know what Batman does?
Own criminals? Get Robins killed?
Batman does an awful lot of planning and research and thinking, and this is the stuff that Nate needs to do.
All right, put yourself in Nate's shoes for a second, though. He's been living a life where he can't really go out and do anything, because if he gets a bruise or he cuts his finger, he could bleed out or die. So this is kind of like the ultimate, not power trip, but like the ultimate change up in things for him, is now he can go out there and now he can be the one that takes a beating and it doesn't truly hurt him. So he's in a completely different mindset. I think he's a little stuck in that and wants to stay with that, and maybe having to be smart and to play in the library kind of reminds him of what he used to be, and he doesn't want to remember that. So maybe that's part of his motivation there, or maybe I'm reading way, way too much into it. Probably the second one.
No, you have some good points. And then at the end, he like pumps himself up and actually stops the train. And part of me is like, that was cool, and I was really proud of him. But what was plan B?
Hope that plan A worked.
Take the Wave Rider and shoot the train? Maybe. I'm just saying, they have the Wave Rider. The Wave Rider can take out train tracks. The Wave Rider is in stealth mode, which, by the way, the Wave Rider comes in all the time on stealth and then lands and then becomes stealth. I mean, nobody notices this thing coming in or going out? Really?
It looks cooler on TV that way, that's all.
It does, but they need to go to cloak mode way before they land. Just saying. Season 3, if you guys are listening, please make that happen. Driving me nuts. It's worse than the one control stick.
Tell us how you really feel, SP.
Who else do we have to talk about? Should we talk about the Barry's message?
Oh, you mean Barry screwed up time again? I'm shocked.
Yeah, Stein and Jax are keeping that a secret still, and that finally gets paid off next week, so that's good.
Barry sounds like he's been out smoking all night in that voicemail. Cigarettes, not anything illegal, everyone. Cigarettes.
Well, depending on where you are, there's other things that are legal to smoke.
Touche.
True.
All right, Michelle, what else do we have to talk about?
One of the things I think I liked Stein I thought that's interesting. But part of the thing about when you tie up Stein and Jax doesn't have anything to do, and it's, and it was one of those, it's like, I really love this episode and stuff, but I kind of felt for, because I do live tweet these things, and sometimes the fans are like, how come we don't get more Firestorm? And it's like, well, because the writers make one have headaches and the other one goes off and do something else.
We can't afford the CGI all the time.
Yeah, that's the real thing. It's a cost-cutting measure.
Although, if Stein does stay back, you would think that Jax would be back doing mechanic stuff, engineering stuff, because the Wave Rider doesn't fix itself. Maybe it does, but that's what Jax is supposed to do. He's the chief engineer. So maybe he needs to spend a little bit more time on board the ship.
Gideon's the master of invasive surgery. I mean, just how important is Jax when it comes to engineering?
I don't know. What, is he a 16-year-old kid yet, or 18-year-old kid?
I thought he was 18 because he was going to have a college football scholarship, but he blew his knee out in season two of Flash or one.
Still, 18-year-old is taking care of a futuristic space/time ship.
Ooh, so that's a good point, though. Like, he was probably 18 in season one of Flash. Do you age yourself if you're constantly traveling through time? How do you define the fact that technically his body is probably aged 2 years, because we're talking 2 years of time they've been time traveling, but what are the... Oh, my head hurts.
So they're in a time ship.
Oh, my head hurts.
They know where the Lazarus pit is. Maybe they go take baths there.
Gideon makes them Lazarus liquid.
Gideon makes Lazarus? That's nice.
Yeah, sure, why not?
All the beer that Mick is drinking is actually Lazarus liquid?
Yeah.
Maybe. We can go with it. Headcanon accept it.
Do we get anything else?
No, Jax is amazing. The fact that he can, you know, be the engineer and stuff like that. It's just something that wish there was more Firestorm, but like you said, can't afford the CG all the time.
All right. Anything else, Michelle?
I'm good.
All right. Chris, what do we got next week?
Next week, we teased it earlier. This is Invasion Season 2, Episode 7, originally airing on Thursday, December 1st. 2016. It's the tie-up, how they wrap up all the loose threads for the crossover between Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and 3.5 minutes of Supergirl.
3.5 seconds of Supergirl.
So for those that don't remember, the Legends work with the Flash, Supergirl, and Green Arrow to kill the invaders while working out how to defeat the Dominators. Stein gets distracted by the aberration he created back in 1987. Directed by Gregory Smith, writers are Phil Klemmer and Mark Guggenheim, with a story by Greg Berlanti.
The Berlantiverse, done by Greg Berlanti.
Nice. And don't forget, guys, if you want a little bit of our impressions early, we already talked about the Invasion episode from Arrow's standpoint, so rewind your podcast or pull up the subscription feed and go back and listen to that one. We've got some thoughts on that can tide you over until we talk about Invasion on Legends.
Sounds like a great idea. In the meantime, we're going to get on to the weekly news and go down to the newsroom. We've got a lot of great stories this week. We're going to start off with Michelle. What do we got going on in Aquaman?
Well, Dolph Lundgren joins Jason Momoa in Aquaman. So Dolph Lundgren is playing Konstantin Kovar this season on Arrow. So therefore, I have made him part of the Arrow cast and have made this news relevant for this podcast. The veteran action star, whose credits range from Rocky to Expendables, and of course, this season of Arrow, has joined Aquaman, Warner Brothers' big screen take on DC Comics' underwater-breathing superhero. Lundgren will play King Neris of the aquatic kingdom of Zebel, who claims Mera as his own and wants to kill Aquaman.
He wants to break him, you might say.
I will break you, Fishman.
Fish head, right? I just caught up with the Aquaman comic in DC, The Rebirth, and it's been a fun ride so far. Some issues have been a little bit skeptic, but they really pick up in the next one, so there hasn't been a long arc of like what is going on here. There's something big happening all the time, which is a problem in itself. There's something big happening all the time, but it's been a fun ride so far. So if you have been like me, which grew up with the Super Friends, and you thought Aquaman was a joke, go get yourself some of these Rebirth comics. You will appreciate them. Absolutely. Right, Michelle?
Yes. I actually can't believe I like Aquaman.
It's a head scratcher. And I don't know much about the universe, so I'm learning about these all these auxiliary characters as they come along as well. I don't think we've had King Nerus in the comics, though, in the Rebirth.
No, not yet.
Okay. All right, so that's what's going on in Aquaman. Thank you very much, Michelle, for making that relevant for Arrow. Chris, we also have a huge piece of news for the Arrow show with Manu Bennett.
Yes, so I was geeking out about this. If you guys were on Twitter earlier this week, you probably saw Stephen Amell and Mark Guggenheim tweet that Manu Bennett's coming back to be Slade Wilson. And then Manu Bennett tweeted, no, I'm not. So let's get some background. He has been denying the fact he's returning. In fact, he tweeted on Monday he wasn't returning to Arrow, followed up by a tweet that then read, enough BS. Fact, Deathstroke, Arrow are currently filming in Vancouver. It is not me. I am in Auckland filming the Shannara Chronicles. So while he's not currently filming Arrow, it seems he will be at some point this week. Presumably the other Deathstroke they showed in all the photos was a stunt performer there to shoot some scenes for which Bennett wouldn't have had to remove his character's trademark helmet. So we're taking a wait-and-see approach to see whether Manu Bennett is in fact returning to Arrow to be Slade Wilson. We do know Deathstroke is in the season 5 finale of Arrow.
Okay, so first of all, called it, because a few weeks ago I said, wouldn't it be great to have Manu Bennett crash the plane in the season finale if we go back to the island? So first of all, I will say SP called it. It's the one time SP gets to be right on the Starling Tribune.
What if he doesn't crash the plane? The plane just shows up crashed when Ollie gets there.
Then I will be very sad because that is some CGI that I'm actually looking forward to. So that's number one. Number two, if Manu Bennett's not there, wouldn't it be cool if the person underneath the mask is Stephen Amell himself?
Yeah, I guess. But if he's got to be on screen with him at the same time, it's tough to do.
I know. They do that all the time, but yeah.
Unless you're right. They clone Stephen Amell.
Who says they haven't?
Fascinating.
So, Chris, for listeners who may not know why Manu Bennett might have this attitude, since you brought this up with news, can you like recap a little bit like why this news is kind of like way it's going?
So Manu Bennett was one of Arrow's harshest critics since his character left the show, basically, especially during season 4. He was fairly harsh on the show and said some things online that made people think, oh, that door is never opening again for him to come back and do Arrow. So that's why. It almost feels, I don't know if that was legit, some of that, or if they were doing their own kind of like wrestling style promo where he was basically the heel and was trying to draw some attention for things. I tend to think that he had issues with what went on, especially when they brought Deathstroke back and it wasn't him under the helmet for an episode. But if he's truly coming back, maybe there's truly water under the bridge and all is forgiven and we might get a little more of Slade going forward. I really hope so, because he's been the best villain on the entire series, Manu Bennett's Slade Wilson.
You're putting Slade Wilson above the villains that we have this year, Prometheus.
Yes.
By far?
Yes. He played better. The mind game was even better because they'd built up the friendship between him and Oliver in his flashbacks and things like that. So we all knew something bad was going to happen. The sword of Damocles is hanging over our head until we see just how Slade Wilson loses it. And it's kind of heartbreaking. Don't get me wrong. What Josh Segarra has been doing has been great as Adrian Chase this season, but the Slade Wilson piece was great. The way they portrayed the character of Deathstroke on screen, it was perfect. It was so good. And had they not been able to pull that off so well, I don't think you would have seen the current Prometheus arc being as good either.
I just want to go watch season 2 right now.
It's on Netflix.
I mean, like right now. Let's stop the podcast and go watch season 2 and then we'll come back.
So just go to www.netflix.com, sign in with your username and password.
Is that a Netflix with an X or an S? Or
it's with 3 X's, SP.
3 X's. Only in your house. All right, Michelle, what do we got going on in season 6 of Arrow for season regulars?
Well, this is a little bit of a spoiler because, you know, Prometheus is kind of going on a killing spree and we're like, oh, who's going to live? Who's going to die? Well, Arrow promotes Rick Gonzalez, who plays Wild Dog, and Juliana Hargitay, who plays Dino Drake, They're being promoted to season regulars for season 6, so they live.
Yes!
Or maybe they'll be in flashbacks the whole time.
No!
See, I want the flashbacks for next season to literally be clips from season 1.
Like Stephen Amell dumping their Oliver Queen dumping Diggle on the motorcycle. You got the Bentleys and stuff like that. The Queen Manor. They'd have to go back to Queen Manor. That'd be so cool.
I know.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for what they do. They have said that there's going to be flashbacks, but they might not take the same form as what we're used to. So we'll just take it how it comes. We will cover it right here on the Starling Tribune. Now, moving on to something else that has been headcanon for a lot of us for a while is Nyssa and Talia. Are they going to fight?
So Entertainment Weekly can exclusively confirm Katrina Law is reprising her role as Nyssa Al Ghul for multiple episodes that will culminate in a big epic fight between her and her half-sister Talia Al Ghul in the season 5 finale of Arrow. I'm so excited. Talia has been one of my favorite things this season. Katrina Law has killed it as Nyssa Al Ghul every time she's been on screen. I cannot wait to see that fight.
I will say, going into the series this year, in my impression is that Lexa was the higher quality action sci-fi actor than Katrina Law. But Katrina Law really came in and killed it. So this is going to be so cool seeing them both on the screen as daughters of Ra's al Ghul fighting each other. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. It's going to be good. This is another one that we've been waiting a long time to see, just like we waited a long time to see Russia. I remember back in season 1, Chris, we were talking about, wouldn't it be cool if we had this?
And it was.
Yeah. All right, so Michelle, leaving Arrow and going over to Supergirl, we've learned something in the last day about the season 2 finale.
Yes, Calista Flockhart is going to return for the season 2 2-episode finale. As we know, because the show moved production from Los Angeles to Vancouver, Calista Flockhart could not be part of the show full time because she likes to stay with her family. So it is wonderful to know that she is going to be on the finale. It's a two-parter. Part 1 is set to air May 15th, and part 2 is set to air May 22nd.
Two-parter, 15th and 22nd. Will this be the last show, or are they all ending that week of May 22nd?
They're probably all ending that week's my guess.
I thought they ended like the week before. Okay, we'll see. It'll be fun. All right, so Chris.
So it's not just Calista Flockhart coming back. Tyler Hoechlin is also returning as Superman for the Supergirl season 2 finale. We don't know what Superman or Clark Kent will be doing at all, but his presence is enough to have me going, sweet, because he was far better as Clark Kent and Superman than I had expected him to be, and I was pleasantly surprised. So I kind of want to see it again.
It will be nice to see what they do. Tyler, I guess he played it okay. I'm still skeptically into the Superman on Supergirl here. I don't know. Michelle, what do you think?
I like the fact that he hasn't come back until now. It's nice to see him. It's good to see the cousins on screen fighting crime together. But I like how it's just occasional because it is Supergirl and somewhere Superman's doing his thing.
They used to do that text thing a lot, and I haven't seen that in the last couple of months. So if we had some of that leading up to it, it might make the transition of having Superman back on the show a little bit easier. You know, they have the mentions texting back and forth of, oh, hey, you know, we had this big alien ship over the planet and I was letting you do it. Good job, or something like that, because that would be a Superman's wheelhouse. Go deal with the alien ship. I'm just saying.
True.
Okay. Now, in comic book news, we haven't talked about comics in a couple of weeks, but we do have a couple of great tidbits on Wonder Woman.
Yes, Greg Rucka and Liam Sharp are leaving Wonder Woman after June's number 25th issue. Greg Rucka took to Tumblr and told fans that the twice monthly schedule has just been a lot for him, and considering he wants to do other things. And then shortly thereafter, Sharp took to Facebook to confirm that he too would be leaving the title, but not to fret, we have a new team coming on. So Shea Fontana will take over the title in July, following a critically acclaimed run again by Rucka. Fontana has signed on to write 5 issues of the twice monthly series for Wonder Woman, beginning with July's number 26, with a storyline that will introduce a new villain into the DC universe. She comes off the fresh of her success for DC Superhero Girls work. The artist for Fontana's first 2 issues will be Mirka Andolfo, whose work has previously appeared in the DC Comics Bombshell series. So it's nice to know that they immediately have a team coming in to replace, you know, Greg Rucka.
That's good.
Yeah, because Wonder Woman has been another great Rebirth title. Very few Rebirth titles have I dropped or could care less about. You know, Wonder Woman and Aquaman are definitely 2 of the better ones, in my opinion. So that ends up the news this week, but we had a lot of great feedback from you, our listener. Thank you very much. We had a ton of voicemails. You guys ready to listen to them?
Yes.
Oh, I'm excited here. I'm hoping people heeded my call from last week.
You think so?
I'm hoping. I'm hoping that we rallied the troops and we got something good coming here, because I know how much you love talking about a certain movie.
All right. We'll see what we got here. Here's voicemail number 1.
Hi, this is Scott, but you can call me Dr. Savannah, the world's maddest scientist. I just wanted to hear more about Academy Award-winning movie, Suicide Squad.
Yes!
Chris, you're doing a great job. Look forward to the next report.
How much did you pay Scott, a.k.a. Dr. Savannah, to do that?
I didn't pay anything. It's just another person likes to talk about the high-quality content that is the Academy Award-winning movie from DC Entertainment starring Jared Leto, Suicide Squad.
I now know how to torture you, Chris. If I ever have to get you in a room and somebody suggests, hey, SP, let's waterboard Chris, I'll go, oh, no. We don't need to waterboard Chris. We'll just have to show him the Academy Award-winning film Suicide Squad over and over and over and over again. And after that, you can come out and really tell me if you think it is Academy Award-winning style.
It doesn't matter whether I think it is or not. The people have spoken. It won an Academy Award.
I think the money of DC spoke. I think that's what happened there. All right. Enough of that. Let's get on to the next voicemail. You guys ready?
Let's do this thing.
Hi, this is Bill Clinton. I like all those shows on the CW. Sure are a lot of pretty girls. Anyhow, I want to hear more about award-winning movie Suicide Squad. Y'all do a great job on there. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, I'm sure the pretty girl he likes is Margot Robbie's, you know, Harley Quinn.
If you think about though, and you're Bill Clinton and you're watching a CW TV show, there's a lot of eye candy, regardless of whether you're interested in the men or women. Everyone's hot in a CW show.
Yeah, that's the CW for you. Exactly. I like pretty girls. Harley Quinn, by the way, aside from her looks, was one of the great things coming out of Suicide Squad. I will concede that. I don't think the movie was any good.
SP, it's Academy Award winning Suicide Squad. You have to use the full title.
No, just because it is doesn't mean I have to say it. As a matter of fact, I refuse to say it.
Who made us call him Golden Stargate Pioneer at one point in time?
Genuine Stargate Pioneer.
There was also Genuine as well.
And it wasn't me that came up with that label. Somebody else did.
Somebody else came up with this label for Suicide Squad, see?
All right, we're moving on to the next voicemail. Here we go.
Is this the guy? Hello. I don't like the media. Most of it is fake news, and they are very unfair to me. I do like the Starling Tribune. Mostly I like that I don't have to read. There was a story about Academy Award-winning film, Suicide Squad. Great film, great people. I want to hear more about Academy Award-winning film, Suicide Squad. It's a story about a bunch of losers join the government and serve their country. I can relate to that. Anyway, you're doing a great job, people. Keep up the good work. Starling Tribune, real news.
Thank you, Mr. President.
So this is a presidential preferred podcast is what I'm hearing here. Triple P.
Yeah, President Trump and President Clinton both calling in. Thank you very much, Mr. President. Yeah. Very high praise, by the way, not fake news, Sterling Tribune. So really appreciate that. Michelle, what do you have to say to President Trump?
Well, I'm really glad we brighten your day and give you a break from having to read. I know reading all of those papers with bullet points can be very taxing and rigorous. So I'm really happy that we bring you real news and you enjoy the real news that we bring.
Okay. I'm a bit shocked that we've had two presidents here, but we still have two voicemails left.
I feel honored.
Definitely honored. Okay, here we go with the next one.
Hello, mate. This is not Dr. Savannah calling again. This is a different Dr. Savannah calling from down under. I'd just like to say, I'd like to hear more about Suicide Squad. I hear it won an Academy Award. Anyway, Chris is right, SP's wrong. More about Academy Award winning Suicide Squad. Good day.
I am going to take that excerpt of Chris is right, SP is wrong, and put that on my soundboard.
You're going to make it your ringtone.
I might make it my ringtone. Anytime SP texts me from now on, it's going to be Chris is right, SP is wrong.
Thanks, Dr. Savannah. We really appreciate your call.
Hey, he also loved Academy Awards winning Suicide Squad like many other people out there.
All right, so we still have one more voicemail. Maybe this voicemail will be in my camp and never want to talk about this movie. Okay, here we go.
Calling Tribune. This is your captain speaking. Your continuing mission, to explore strange new films, to seek out online life, online civilizations, to boldly watch Academy Award-winning film Suicide Squad. Very well. Engage.
See, even the captains want you to watch the movie, SP, and give it its proper respect by referring to it as the Academy Award-winning film that it
is. Now, wait a minute. Which captain is this? Is this Captain Kate McGrew? Is this William Shatner? Is this Picard? Which captain?
It could just be generic Starfleet captain number two, for all we know, but it is a Starfleet officer.
Which is a red shirt, and their ship gets blown up, so why do we have to listen to this generic captain?
Because we also had four other people tell us that we should pay attention to it also, so listeners...
Just because two of the four were former or current presidents of the United States doesn't mean we... Well...
How many times have you seen Suicide... I'm sorry, Academy Award-winning Suicide Squad, SP?
Thank you.
Once in the theater, and that was it.
Have you seen it, Chris?
I have seen it.
So we've all seen it.
And while I might not have enjoyed the movie that much, I do give it its proper respect by referring to it in its full title as Academy Award-winning Suicide Squad.
I think I see where Michelle is going here. So Michelle, why don't you just out with it?
Well, I liked it. Okay, I liked the movie. It was stylish. It was fun. Will Smith was Will Smithy all over it, and...
He got jiggy with it.
Exactly.
All right, that's not where I was thinking you were going. So what I was thinking you were going is because we didn't cover it when it first came out, because...
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Should we do a special episode?
I'm thinking after we get done with Legends of Tomorrow this summer that we should probably do... because two presidents, Dr. Savannah, both Down Under and the evil scientists... as well as generic Starfleet captain, I think our fans have spoken. I think we need to cover it later this summer.
Aw, my plan backfired here.
Because we are going to cover Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah, sure. We will definitely, the week it comes out, we'll cover it.
Yay.
So there you go. Thank you very much, Mr. Presidents, Dr. Savannah's, and generic Starfleet captain. We really appreciate you. Speaking out. And by the way, if there are any other fans out there that do not want us to talk about the Academy Award winning Suicide Squad, please let us know. Otherwise, we're going to have to back into taking an entire week to talk about this. And I'm going to have to buy it because I don't want to buy it.
You can just rent it from Amazon.
I'll still have to do that. I'll still have to give somebody money in order to do it.
No, I don't even have to give people money. I've got Google Play survey credit out the wazoo. I'll just spend $4 Google Play survey credit.
But that's still... it's
That's fake money. Fake money. It's not real money.
It's money from somewhere.
Hey, people worked on this movie. They deserve our money.
Sure didn't feel like it when I watched it.
After all that. All right, once again, our voicemail line is 612-888-CAVE or 612-888-2283. Please let us know if you would like us not to cover the Suicide Squad later this year. And talking about the Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman and all the great comic book movies out there, we have a lot of geeky content on the GunnaGeek.com network, don't we, Chris?
That we do. We like to take a little time each week to remind folks that we are part of a network, the GunnaGeek Network. And on that network, you can find a variety of different geeky podcasts, some of which are focused on specific TV shows, general geek culture, video games. We've got a variety of different topics there, and each week we want to highlight one specific podcast. And this week, I want to talk to you guys about episode 36 of the Doom Ninja podcast, entitled, Can I Get a Witness? This week, Ryan and Nate start off with some listener stats and news about an old man on the river. Next, they talk about their experiences with indie game The Witness. Finally, they round out the episode with updates on their respective studios. So if you guys didn't know, both Ryan and Nate are indie game developers, so they have a very unique perspective on the world of video games and video game development. So you can go check out the Doom Ninja podcast over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Keep up the great work, Ryan and Nate.
Yes, so thank you to everyone who did watch live tonight or downloaded the episode or watched it on YouTube at a later date.
You can watch the next live show on the Gunna Geek Network over on Geeks.live. The next live show on the network is Better Podcasting, Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate all those five-star reviews on iTunes. Like us on Facebook and YouTube and badger us on Twitter.
You can find all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, where you can check our forums and other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send us a tweet, or you can call us, once again, our voicemail line, 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283.
Great episode, guys. That about wraps it up for another week. Any last words before we sign off and open up the chat to our live listener? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag 1 minute.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag presidential preferred podcast.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag holding your microphone during a podcast kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.